T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
March Madness Weekend 1 is nearly in the books. One more day for the women, and then we've got both tournaments down to the Sweet 16. I do love it. I feel like we hang on for dear life through these first 4 days. 4 for the men, 4 for the women. We go from 64 down to 16, and then we can let the dust settle, see whether or not there are any remaining portions of our brackets that are not completely X'd out. I do know I lost one of my Final Four teams, Wisconsin, I had going into the Final Four. So it took a major hit there because there were some game dukes of James Madison who were more than willing to bust brackets. And so, yeah, that was one that I lost already. For the most part, though, the rest of my Final Four is intact, and most of my Elite Eight is also still there, though not all of them. So, yeah, let's regroup heading into these next few days. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. Always good to connect with you. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. This hour, Kim Mulkey stirring the pot because she is not shy about controversy. And it's become a big back and forth with a columnist for the Washington Post. Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes will play for a spot in the Sweet 16 coming up on Monday evening. Also on Monday, as we mentioned, Shohei Ohtani will address reporters for the first time about the gambling and the theft allegations. And here's the thing. When you have an interpreter, you actually can. Well, I shouldn't say this. When you have an interpreter, it's easier to lie or to not tell the whole truth, right? Because it's not you who has to look those reporters in the eye in a language that most of them understand. Now, there will be some Japanese reporters around because they cover him and everything he does. He's, goodness, he's probably the most recognizable athlete in the world right now. I don't know. If you can name an athlete that's more recognizable in the world, and I don't mean Mike Tyson, although I suppose he's still pretty recognizable. Gosh, every day there's new training videos. We need to bring some of those back as he gets ready.
I'm getting ready for you.
Oh yeah. No, there's more though. There's more. He keeps churning them out, scaring the crap out of Jake Paul.
Day one, the fun just begun.
Uh-huh. And so if you know of an athlete that's more recognizable worldwide, more popular worldwide, let me hear it on Twitter or Facebook. Because right now, Shohei Ohtani has captured not just the hearts and the pocketbooks of those fans in Asia and the Orient. He's got the South Korean crowds fawning over him. We know about Japan, how popular he is. I mean, remember the World Baseball Classic? That was amazing. The noise, the energy. Obviously, the Dodgers. But this is his first year with the Dodgers. I mean, we saw it everywhere he went last year. The crowds show up to watch him play. And now he's with the Dodgers, who are a winning organization. So he'll stand in front of the microphone, and he'll have a new interpreter, and he'll give his part of the story. I don't know what kind of questions he'll answer. I can imagine, since his camp is saying, hey, we've passed these theft charges or these theft allegations on the authorities. We've asked the authorities to investigate, though we don't actually know which agency. I guess there have been a lot of inquiries. There have been a lot of inquiries made to different law enforcement agencies. And at this point, no one can figure out who's investigating the theft allegations, which is suspicious and fishy. But yeah, he will be able to speak in his native language. An interpreter will pass it on. There's a level of insulation there because he doesn't have to lie in a language that most of these reporters can understand. And I'm not saying definitively that he's lying, only that I have a really hard time believing that he knew nothing about it, didn't notice that the money was disappearing. We're talking about nearly a dozen wire transfers of more than $4.5 million. And he, his accountants, his attorneys, his handlers, they were all completely oblivious. I don't know how famous you have to be to not have any clue or knowledge what's happening in your bank account. That kind of money? So that is hard for me to believe. But even if it wasn't Ohtani, why not his financial advisors? Why not his attorneys? Why aren't they checking his accounts? That's a lot of money to disappear. Somebody needs to get fired over that alone, not seeing it if it's accurate. But there's more. And there's more about just the proximity of the whole thing, right? And the fact that there was one story told that was retracted, and somehow his camp, who, by the way, hired a crisis communications spokesperson. Okay, that's a new addition to Ohtani's staff, a crisis communications spokesperson. And once that person was hired, this is according to the ESPN timeline, the whole story changed. It's like a drastic about face. And there are still some questions that haven't yet been answered. According to Tisha Thompson, who did the initial story for ESPN, after Mitsuhara changed his account and retracted what he said about Ohtani covering his debts and said that he had, that Ohtani had no knowledge of anything, he wouldn't straight up say, of course, this could be a legal thing. He wouldn't straight up say that he had taken the money from Ohtani's accounts, even though that's what he'd been accused of. But also, he was asked whether or not he ever misled Ohtani with his translations or his interpretations, because that's what Ohtani's camp wants us to believe now. That because Mitsuhara was the go-between for Ohtani and his attorneys and his camp and the people who work with him. I mean, that's the part, again, another part that I just can't believe completely. Mitsuhara was the only one who ever spoke to his camp. He does speak English. And furthermore, are there no Japanese people on his team? Because that seems also like it would be an oversight. What, they're only people who speak English? Among his attorneys, among his financial advisors, I would think that'd be something, at least for me, again, I'm just speaking from my own perspective, that I would want someone who understood my culture, understood what I was about, where I came from, maybe even sending money back home. God, want someone on my team that was similar background, same ethnicity, and spoke the same language. But Ohtani's team wants us to believe that Mitsuhara is the one they spoke to, and they never actually spoke to Ohtani, which again makes just just makes for a lot of confusion. So we'll hear from him coming up on Monday, but I would expect that there's probably a level of legal protection where he can say, you know, it's under investigation. I can't say anything. Oh, that was something else too I thought was interesting from Tisha Thompson's follow-up timeline. So again, it's on ESPN.com. I read the whole thing. I can't get enough. Apparently, when ESPN was kind of following up with him after he changed his story, they were texting back and forth or trying to figure out why the drastic and sudden reversal. And Mitsuhara not only said, I've never translated anything incorrectly. I've never misrepresented. And Ohtani's camp made it seem like he was the one who was kind of fabricating this whole thing, and Ohtani had no idea. There was kind of the timeline that crossed where what they were getting from the federal investigators and when it was revealed and when his camp said Ohtani finally found out about it was after the interpreter had done his interview with ESPN. So this, it just is, there's a lot of confusion there. There's a lot of holes or cracks in the story, that, if you will, that have not been filled. And you know the old adage, where there's smoke, there's fire. This one seems like there's just too much that can't be explained. But the whole idea is to protect Ohtani. That literally is the whole idea. Because if that source of money goes away, then everybody is left out to dry. Including Ibe Mitsuhara. So maybe there's the motivation. Though I'd have a real hard time with that. But this whole idea right now is to protect the golden goose. 855-212-4227. Mike is in Philadelphia. Mike, welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. You're a fan. You're big.
Seriously? Like, seriously? Ugh. Why do people think that's okay? I do not understand for the life of me why people call up the radio show, call up a national network, and think it's all right to drop words that you never hear on the show. It doesn't make any sense.
He's the second biggest fan, too. He should know that we can't say that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, again, he's going to have to drop to third because Mom and then the Hubs. Heavens. I get it that people feel comfortable and feel like they should be able to, or that they're conversing with me and, oh, yeah, I can talk to Amy like she's my friend and we're sitting across from each other at a sports bar, blah, blah. But if you don't hear me say the words, then you shouldn't say the words either.
You didn't even give myself a chance to get really passionate about it yet. It just started.
Right. 855-212-4227. One of the things that I think it, from this Ohtani story that also flags, again, as I said, there's probably no smoking gun, because if there was, it would have been uncovered by now. Is that if Ohtani was part of the gambling, right? So he and Mitsuhara were placing bets together, or Mitsuhara was placing bets for him, right? So these are all the various versions. One of the things that people keep talking about is there's no way that a bookie would grant Mitsuhara a line of credit that goes $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, $4.5 million without knowing that somehow he was quote unquote good for it. And the only way he would be good for it is if he had someone really rich who was backing him. So a gambling addiction is one thing. And I don't know much about, in fact, I know very little about placing bets with bookies. I've never done that before. I only hear the stories that people tell me. In this case, it was illegal because it was done in California. But what I hear from them is that you're not going to extend a line of credit to a person that can't pay you back. That's just bad business. Not that you aren't happy to take their money, but at some point, if they're in way over their skis or if they're in way over their heads and they can't pay you back, what, you can't get water from a rock, unless you're Moses, of course. You can't milk money out of someone who doesn't have any to give you. So there's all kinds of interesting little tidbits in the timeline and how it's interspersed and when. There is some speculation that Ohtani could end up with a minor suspension, a slap on the wrist. And we'll hear from him. But I don't know that Major League Baseball wants to do a whole lot more than that. In fact, I would be quite confident in saying that baseball is probably holding its breath, hoping beyond hope that Ohtani either A, had nothing to do with it, or B, even if he did, that they don't ever find out. They don't want their biggest star, the biggest draw they've had in decades at ballparks, sustainable, right? I know Aaron Judge is a big draw. Mike Trout's a draw. We've had other guys kind of come and go, flash in the pans, not consistent necessarily. You've got teams that'll be draws. But in terms of individual players with this kind of magnetism and star power, it's been a while. Sustainable. And he still has yet to play in a postseason game in Major League Baseball. So there's that. That's where baseball makes its money. They don't want his image tarnished. And if they have to suspend him, they will. But they don't want to find a connection to Ohtani and gambling. And they don't want anyone else to find it either. Can you imagine how afraid they must be of this bookie who's now in federal custody, singing like a canary? Maybe the federal authorities. Now, this is not an investigation that started with Ohtani. His name came up as part of a larger federal investigation. So he wasn't a target. They had no knowledge of him. He's not been accused of gambling again. But the bookie had his home raided in October as part of a federal investigation. It's all about money laundering and illegal gambling, and he's just one little fish in a very big net, except he happened to have another really big fish attached to his rear end, at least in name. He shared the hook with another really big fish. And so that's how Ohtani's name came out. But if there was a smoking gun and the federal investigators were able to generate it by maybe offering this guy a deal, you could imagine there's some major fear about how it might play out if someone starts singing or someone starts talking. And again, they don't know that there's a connection. They don't know whether or not there was a fall guy or a backup plan should something ever go horribly wrong, but they probably don't want to know. It's like the proverbial ostrich with its head buried in the sand. Not quite the same attitude as the steroid era, not on that magnitude or that scale, but again, I don't think baseball wants to know anything. But they also don't want anybody else to know anything either. Oh, imagine what it's like waking up to be Robert Manfred, when you feel like for right now, with all the investigating, all the reporters that are honing in on this, that something could come out that could be so damaging that you couldn't ignore it.
This is the worst feeling in the world.
Our friend Michael Duarte from NBC LA and his team, or the people that he works with, they were actually the source of now allegations that there are fabricated items on Mitsuhara's resume, that he worked for other teams or with other Japanese athletes, and those teams are kind of disavowing that. It's very strange. There's all kinds of weird things that he went to a particular school and got his degree, but that school has no record of him attending there. I mean, how would the Angels not check this? Or the Dodgers? Although I suppose if he's a package deal with Ohtani, I mean, what do you care where he went to school, right? What do you care whether or not his resume is accurate, as long as Ohtani has the guy that he's worked with and there's a comfort zone with him? So yeah, I don't know that that matters as much, but is it interesting now that the spotlight's on Mitsuhara in a way that it's never been before? Kevin's in Oregon. Kevin, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Well, thank you for taking my call. You know, there is so much invested in Ohtani and the financial gain that can potentially come from his involvement in Major League Baseball makes me believe we will never know the truth about his involvement in this situation. I think there's so much financially to protect that it's just, it's going to get glossed over, and we'll never know the truth. That's my opinion.
So you think it'll be glossed over by Major League Baseball, or by Ohtani's camp, or by the Dodgers, or by whom?
What I think is that a story will be concocted, whether it's the truth or whether it's made up, that Ohtani will be able to escape any culpability in this matter, and therefore, from a legal standpoint, he's never going to get charged with anything, and probably Major League Baseball, Major League Baseball will probably also not do anything, or if they do, it'll be very little.
Right, well, that's what I'm hearing, is that as they go through their investigation, there's a chance that just because his money was on that line item and they want to have this appearance of, hey, we don't pull any punches when it comes to gambling, we're not playing favorites, these were illegal bets, your name was on the wire transfers, that in of itself is violating baseball's rules, right? That you paid money, whether or not it was for someone else. I guess if the theft could be proven, that'd be one thing, but your name was on wire transfers that went to an illegal bookie, an illegal source. And so if no other reason, that could lead to a suspension. But I agree with you. I don't think Major League Baseball wants this to be a big deal. I don't think they want anything else to come out. Now, are they actively trying to squash things? That would be completely different. That would mean there's a cover-up, not just a, oh, please, 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 not today. And their fingers crossed that nothing else comes out about Ohtani.
But it seems like they could. Possibly that Ohtani could say, look, I didn't know where this money was going. I know that they were covering bets, but I didn't know they were going to an illegal bookie. I was just trying to help my friend out. Now, if he had said that and stuck with that story, that actually would have been believable. But to say that and then to retract that and say the money was stolen from me, I had hear saying this, and I agree totally. That is just so fishy.
It is.
You should have stuck to the original story.
Well, that's what I say, Kevin. In fact, I actually believed the original story. And I know some of my guy friends are here at CBS Sports Radio, they call me naive for that. But because I can put myself in that situation, and I'm not saying that I have this kind of money, but if I did, and I could cover, say, my brother or a really good friend who came to me in a pinch and said, hey, I'm afraid. I've got an addiction. I've got a problem. I've run up this debt. Please, can you help me? I promise I'll pay it back. I would do it. I mean, I'd be furious. I'd be really upset at this brother or friend, but I would do it to get him or her out of debt. So that's why that story actually is believable to me.
I would do that, too, and I wouldn't necessarily check to see where the money was going to.
Well, whether or not he...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The money was going to an illegal bookie, but I don't necessarily think Ohtani would have known that, even if he was helping his friend out.
Maybe, maybe not. You're right. There could have been the case. I'm not exactly sure. I just know that it seems really implausible that he knew nothing, that no one on his team noticed that $4.5 million disappeared. And it wasn't like all at once, right? It wasn't like that, oh, someone made a mistake entering a number into a ledger. No, this was like almost a dozen wire transfers of $500,000 each over a couple of weeks' time. How does that happen with no one noticing?
His team knew. And I'm sure, you know, again, if he'd stuck to the original explanation, I'm helping my friend out, it would have all been explainable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody would have to deny this.
Agreed.
As a possibility.
Agreed.
And this looks awful for him, and it's terrible because I think it could be relatively innocent on his part, and he could be that naive.
It could be, yes, it could be, for sure.
Thank you, Amy.
I agree with you, Kevin. Thanks so much for calling from Oregon. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, and our Facebook page, too, I don't know how much more comes out. That's the thing. Ohtani will speak on Monday. We may never get any more information about him, the wire transfers, Mitsuhara. It may be years down the road until someone decides to write a tell-all book. Oh, it'll be explosive. It's kind of like the book about Phil Mickelson and his gambling habits and his debts and all that jazz. But it could be 20 years from now. I mean, I suppose... by that time, we could have Shohei Ohtani waiting for his call from Cooperstown.
Let it go.
All right, I'm way over. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, too. Would you rather have the Blue Bloods and the top seeds moving into the Sweet 16, which is what we've got? Do you feel like you're missing out because there aren't as many double-figure seeds and no true Cinderellas? Actually, no Cinderellas moving forward. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
To them, you're just a freak. Like me.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Rob is listening in San Bruno, California. Do you believe Belichick and Brady, Rob?
I was close friends with Tom Brady.
Hey, what's going on, Amy? You know, I never played football, but, you know, I played football.
Hey, I'm in North Carolina. We're fine. We'll be all right. We don't play Philly but twice. We ain't got to see him no more. We're going to have to just get dead straight.
I'm going to take you to Sturgis this summer.
Are you planning to kidnap me?
No, we're just going to go to Sturgis for a week.
Wait, we are going to go to Sturgis for a week?
Of course. But I'm a trick. Most valuable player means the player most valuable.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Call Amy at 855-212-4CBS.
We can't be held responsible for what people say on the radio, but we might just bring it back when it creates a funny montage. And for those of you who recognize your voices there, hey, you said it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you haven't heard the latest drama around Kim Mulkey, the LSU coach, defending champion, they are the Tigers, and they are brash, and they are bold, and they are certainly a force. They've advanced to the Sweet 16 after pulling away from Middle Tennessee. Slow start. Some tough shooting and just not real discipline, not taking care of the details, the finer details, if you will. And that led to questions about whether or not the Tigers were distracted to begin the game against Middle Tennessee. That question was posed to Kim Mulkey after the game in large part because of how she started her Saturday press conference. Okay, so it's in between the two games, right? So the LSU Tigers played on Sunday, and they also played Friday. Okay, so they're into the Sweet 16. They go Friday, Sunday, middle day. She sits down and she starts her press conversation, her press availability, with a statement.
This reporter has been working on a story about me for 2 years.
After 2 years of trying to get me to sit with him for an interview, he contacts LSU on Tuesday as we were getting ready for the first round game of this tournament with more than a dozen questions, demanding a response by Thursday, right before we're scheduled to tip off. Are you kidding me? This was a ridiculous deadline that LSU and I could not possibly meet, and the reporter knew it. It was just an attempt to prevent me from commenting and an attempt to distract us from this tournament. It ain't gonna work, buddy.
She went on, and she said that this reporter has had an axe to grind. He works for the Washington Post, and he's been active on social media. He's responded to her on social media. She says that after she saw the hit job that he did on, the football coach at Notre Dame, Brian Kelly. Thank you, producer Jay. So she said that after he did the hit job on Brian, that she refused to give him an interview. And so instead, he started going to former coaches and former players. And now this is according to Kim Mulkey, all of this in her press conference on Saturday, unsolicited, mind you. She said that this reporter, whose name I don't know, but again, he's out there. He's on social. He's been responding. That this reporter lied to coaches that used to work for her in order to get them to talk, saying that, oh yeah, Kim is planning on sitting with us. We're just going to get you first. Now, again, this is Kim's version. I have no idea whether or not it's accurate, but this is the version that she put out there, that these former coaches were misled and deceived. So they sat down to do interviews with this guy and that then found out that Kim refused to talk to him herself and they were distraught. That's the word that she used. They apologized. They couldn't believe it, that this guy had deceived him or deceived them. Then she also said that he has gone to former players guaranteeing them an anonymity, guaranteeing them the right to remain anonymous if they would trash her, if they would badmouth her. And so this would go back, of course, to her former players at Baylor and now at LSU. Now, there's no way that every single player has nothing negative to say. That's just not the world of sports. Athletes and coaches don't always get along. And athletes who don't get the playing time that they think they should very often will speak negatively about a coach. I mean, that's a tale as old as time. I don't know why she thinks it's a hit piece. I don't know if this has anything to do with Brittany Griner. There's been some talk that it's about Brittany Griner and her stay in Russia and Kim Mulkey not going to bat for her or whatever else she was supposed to do. She is conservative politically and is more outspoken about that. So there's been some talk that this is a piece that's being done to smear her because the media doesn't like her politics. Like, there's all this speculation. Again, I have no idea, haven't seen the article, but what she says there is true, that there's no way that you would, I couldn't ask, no one on the planet could ask the head coach of a defending champion or a team that has designs on getting to the Sweet 16 or the Final Four to answer a bunch of questions for a serious article, write a feature piece to be done in the days before they tip off their tournament. That's just not, it's not possible and it's unfair. If that's really how it happened, there's no way that Kim and her staff would be able to respond to a media request like that and would say, no, I'm sorry, we're too busy. The number of times that we get turned down by coaches or players that say they're inundated with media requests, they can't fulfill them all. Going into a tournament, that's their main focus. And so that part is accurate, but I don't know about the rest. I just know that she sat down on Saturday and she put all this out there. And there has been a back and forth on social with this reporter. So then going back to their game where they have a slow start, she was asked about whether the players and the team were distracted because of what she said on Saturday.
We're not going to let one sleazy reporter distract us from what we're trying to do. Absolutely not. My kids didn't even know I said that yesterday. That team's not involved in this. They were in shock when they saw all that on the internet. I don't take that stuff to my team. Was that the question, or did you have a second part?
She is an amazing coach. She's a great coach. I've had personal conversations with her. I've sat in media sessions, and I don't mean, well, I have sat in big rooms where she's done media availability, but I've also sat in smaller sessions with her and Hall of Famers, basketball Hall of Famers, and the way that she treats them with respect, the way that she handles her business. I mean, she's fiery on the court, but she will tell you she loses her mind out there and can't half the time remember the way that she stamps up and down and goes all kinds of nutso, that she just gets very intense and kind of forgets, like loses the handle. Something that John McEnroe said to me one time. Anyway, she's an incredible coach, and her players, most of the ones that I've ever heard from, are extremely loyal to her. I don't know if it's a hit piece. I just know that she is never going to be a coach who takes this kind of stuff and stays quiet about it. If nothing else, you tangle with Kim Mulkey and she will use her platform to amplify her voice and to amplify. And she has that right. That microphone's in front of her face for a reason. But yeah, per the usual, there's never a dull moment around any of Kim Mulkey's programs. For players either. You can see why they feel free to be brash and bold. And she's always been someone, a player's coach, quote unquote. She's always been someone who allows her young women to express themselves. She encourages them to be aggressive. She encourages them to be who they are. She's not asking them to be someone they're not. And she doesn't shy away from strong personalities. She and Angel Reese, they'll clash every now and then right there on the court. But there's a lot of respect there too. So they kind of take a page from their coach and from her perspective and her attitude and her approach. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. If you're waking up on your Monday morning, well, hello. Welcome to another work week. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Jones back in for Marquette with the four personals, 18 points. Kolick has 19. Drive and kick. Ross tees up a three, left corner. Swish! Chase Ross in double figures with a dozen. And it's 77-74 Marquette, 2:45 to go. Kolick dribbles underneath the basket. He twirls around Lampkin, and he scores with the left. Tyler Kolick is a virtuoso. 79-76 Marquette. Simpson brings it into the forecourt. Colorado calls a timeout.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Big East has got an axe to grind. If you haven't heard, you just have to ask them. All three teams still standing and believing that they should have gotten more. Remember, there were other teams in the conference that, having come through what they believe is a real axe, a buzzsaw would be the more appropriate tool. Because I already used axe. A buzzsaw of a conference. Teams like St. John's, Seton Hall, Providence, all with 20-plus wins, that they should have been included in the tournament as well, instead of some of the others, like the Mountain West, who had a record 6 teams in, or like the ACC, who got 5, but Virginia promptly lost in the first 4. But that's not how the selection committee determined the field should look. And so instead, the Big East is left with 3 and a major chip on its shoulder. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Marquette over Colorado to get to the Sweet 16. That was one of the earlier games on Sunday, and it left Head coach Shaka Smart, who's now in his third season, in tears when he was interviewed on CBS.
Gratitude for these guys, our fans, our guys hanging in there, continuing to fight, and now we get to keep playing.
Where's that emotion coming from?
Love, man. I love these guys. I don't want the season to end. That's the biggest thing, you know. So now we get several more days, get to go home, rest up, go down to Dallas.
First Sweet 16 for Marquette in more than a decade, 11 seasons since they last survived to the second weekend. Tyler Kolek with 21 points and 11 assists, but it was a major battle against Colorado. You can just imagine how some of these teams feel. The ones that were in real tough contest to get to the Sweet 16, you emerge, but you are emotionally and physically spent in some cases, and that definitely includes Houston. We'll get to Houston at the top of the hour, the one seed that had the closest call to get to the Sweet 16, although all four of the twos reached the Sweet 16. And if we're talking about the Big East, all three teams from that conference, as well as four of the five from the ACC, right? So the ACC had Virginia in, just an abysmal loss, an abysmal showing for UVA at the ACC tournament, only to then turn around and bow out with barely a whimper in the first four. So Virginia's done, but the other four ACC teams are still alive. And that includes the 11 seed NC State, who won the tournament and the automatic bid. So you've got, of the Sweet 16, nearly half from the Big East and the ACC. Now the other, we talked about UConn, and we'll get to UConn again after the break. But the other Big East team is the Creighton Blue Jays, who need double overtime to get by Oregon. So this was also a close call. But yeah, Greg McDermott, he's seen a few of these and loves this stage.
Epic game. Not sure I've been part of one quite like it in 35 years.
Heck of a game. And, we had our opportunities. And we made more mistakes than they did.
That's all you can ask for, right? Is that it's a game in which you put your best foot forward. Even the best coaches, as much as they want wins, know that sometimes it just doesn't go that way. And into double overtime, you're talking about guys who are giving it absolutely everything they possibly can. But Creighton found another gear in overtime, outscoring the Ducks 24-11 in that period. I mean, this is one of those back and forths that you love. So I agree and I appreciate both coaches who are willing to say that. It was a thriller. Apparently, now I didn't know this, but Greg McDermott and Dana Altman of Oregon are really close friends. So that's another element to it, right? You're standing on the same sideline. You're going back and forth. It's intense. But you smile because you know this is what it's all about. This is why you coach, for days and for opportunities like this one. And Creighton, of course, made the Elite Eight last year and is trying to get back to that point. 1 hour to go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.